It was pointed out this morning. Remember I got up here and my microphone wasn't working? It was pointed out to me by my technician over here that there were zero batteries in the microphone. So what that means is someone sabotaged me. And my guess is that one right there. Exactly. Yeah, well, we were arguing at his little game night a few weeks ago about how we needed to get a little rivalry going again. Game on. So, yeah, that was... Thanks, Michael. Yeah, Father's Day, Frank. That's right. But all is well. Thanks, everyone, for being here tonight. Mark Twain said something, and maybe he was the first to say it, maybe he wasn't, I'm not sure, but I've got the impression that he kind of got this train of thought rolling. And Mark Twain said, there are basically two types of people. People who accomplish things, and people who claim to have accomplished things. And the first group is less crowded. And we often talk about there are two types of people in the world. And we know those people who actually have accomplished things and those who we say talk a big game. We know the difference, right? Other people, they say other things about there are two types of people. There are two types of people on earth. People who stop to think and people who stop thinking. And we know the difference, don't we? We got the people who are very careful in the decision, so when something's about to happen, they stop, they think. And the other people, they kind of just rush right into it headlong. They don't stop to think. They just go. Or, you might have heard this one, there are two types of people who can't look you in the eyes. Someone who's trying to hide a lie, and then someone who's trying to hide a love. And you might think about that. And then there are goofy ones. And I kind of like them a little better. There are two people in the world. One, people that understand and appreciate sarcasm. Two, idiots. Man, there aren't a lot of sarcastic people in the audience. They don't get it, right? But we think about that. And then there's another one. I couldn't find it again. But it said, there are two types of people in the world. The people who think that there are two types of people, and then those who don't. And there is some truth to all of these different sayings, right? That the basic, there are two types of people. And here's my intention for tonight's lesson. Is I want you to see that the Bible talks about two types of people. And it talks about two types of people repeatedly. It's not like there are only two types of people. We would obviously say there are two types of people. There are righteous and there are unrighteous. Okay, fine. I'm going to grant that. But there are other sections of, remember how that one was, there are two types of people who can't look you in the eye. In the scenario, there's only two reactions. They're either trying to hide a lie or they're trying to hide a love. And the Bible uses these, and I'm going to call them black and white, clear as day contrasts of two types of people. And so here's what I want you to get out. I want you, as you're reading your Bible, as you're studying your Bible, to kind of hold this idea that there are two types of people in the world there as you're reading your Bible. See, when Jesus says this, are there two types of people? Are there three types of people? What is he talking about, right? So, I'll illustrate one that is not two types of people. Parable of the sower, right? Matthew chapter 13. One of the brothers that knows the parable of the sower, how many types of people are there? There are four. Not two, but four, right? So, this is not a universal, but this is something just to hold in the back of your head as you're studying and as you're reading your Bible. So, here's what I want to do tonight. I want to take the Gospel of Luke. And I picked some random chapters. Basically, I said, oh, okay, here's some statements, and here we go. Just to show you as you're just reading through, here are two types of people. And we'll see some of them. So, we're going to begin in Luke chapter 12. And the chapters that I look at, we're going to look at two from each chapter. Two types of people, two in each chapter. I like to keep it simple, right? So if you're there in Luke chapter 12, I want you to read verses 4 and verse 5, and I want you to look for the two types of people. Jesus said, "I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you to whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has authority to cast into hell." Well, we got two types of people, right? One type of person, they fear someone who can kill the body. And it's the idea that they fear them the most. They're terrified of them. So if they can do them physical harm, they'll do whatever they ask. So if they come into the house, if they come into the church building, whatever they ask, that's what they're going to do because they're the most afraid of them. Your second type of person. They fear the one who can harm the body and cast it into hell. It's one or the other. Either the person that you fear the most can do absolutely nothing to you after this life, or the person that you fear the most can either condemn you for all eternity or can bless you for all eternity. And you say, which one of those people am I? And we would all like to say that we're the people who fear God the most, right? But notice your next one to see if maybe gives us another idea. Look at verse 8 and verse 9. Jesus said, "I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God." Who are two types of people here? We've got one person who acknowledges Christ, and the emphasis is before men. The ones who can kill the body. Or the person who denies Jesus before men. The people who can kill the body. Because as he would go on to say, is that guess what? There's going to come a time where there will be trouble. There will be persecution. We'll see that later in the gospel. There will be persecution that will come. And what are you going to do in front of these people? Are you going to claim Jesus? Or are you going to deny him? And his own disciples went through that, didn't they? They went through that when it came to the time of the cross. And when the shepherd was struck, they all scattered. Peter, when he's asked by the three, and I emphasize the little girl, they denied, right? And he thought, "Oh, I'd never do that." He flat out said, "I'll never deny you." And we've probably found situations in our life where we thought we wouldn't deny, but we did. And I would suggest it's because at that moment in time, we were the type of person who was more afraid of man than afraid of God. And there are going to be situations that pop up all the time where that has to take place. Might be work. Might be school. Might be in your house with your spouse. With a mouse. I realized that was a rhyme, so I couldn't stop it too. You just never know. But in God's eyes, right? What are you at that moment? You're that type of person. Now, it's not black and white that it's one instance, right? Because what did Jesus tell to Peter before he denied him? What did he know he was going to do? Later on, he was going to stand up for him. He was going to acknowledge him. And the fact is, just because you deny one time does not mean that you are necessarily that type of person. But when it becomes habitual, and there become opportunities for you to acknowledge Christ, and you just sit back and you never say anything, you're not the type of person who acknowledges Him before. And therefore, what does Jesus say He's going to do? If we won't acknowledge you before men, I'm not going to acknowledge you before the angels of God. I'm not going to make you known in the presence of God. But if you acknowledge me on earth in front of them, I will acknowledge you. There are two types of people. Those who fear God, and they acknowledge Jesus, and those who fear man, and they deny Jesus in the presence of men. Okay? Got that one? Go to chapter 13. Chapter 13, the first five verses. Who are two types of people? For there were some who were present at that time who told him, and that would be Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. So there were some Jews who got killed by Pilate and they got offered as a sacrifice. Pretty messed up, right? And so notice the question. He answered them, he said to them, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? He can read their mind. He knows that they're thinking, what did these Galileans do that was so bad that they suffered in this cruel, unjust way? And he says, no, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And he says, well, what about those other 18 over there? And the Tower of Siloam fell on them. When's the last time a tower just randomly fell, right? It doesn't just randomly fall. Someone does. This tower just randomly fell, apparently, and killed 18 people. He's like, oh man, they must have been bad, right? Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? God just happened to find the worst 18 and he got them with that tower? And the answer is obviously no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Who are your two groups of people? You got those who sin, right? And some of them repent. And then the other type of people, they perish. Worse doesn't happen to worse sinners. In fact, sometimes sinners, they have the easiest life. They just go through life, everything is smooth, everything is easy. They're taking advantage of everybody at work. They're abusing all kinds of stuff. And everything just seems to be going swell and hunky-dory. And maybe they never get caught. And we look at that and we say, man, they got it easy. But Psalm 37 would say, they'll be cut off. They flourish now, but they're like the grass, they'll be cut off. It's done. Just because something bad happens to someone doesn't mean that they're worse than anybody else. And just because something bad doesn't happen to someone doesn't mean that they're better than anyone else. What he says is you all have sinned. And you handle sin differently. Some of you, one type of person, they will repent of their sin. The other type of people, as Jesus would say in John, they will die in their sin. But we all sin. John says, if we say we have no sin, we're a liar and the truth isn't in us. So which type of person am I? Am I a person that's going to repent when this is wrong in my life? Or am I the person that says, don't care, I want to do this, and I'll die doing it? There are two types of people. A little later in chapter 13. In verse 22, he's going on his way and he's getting closer to Jerusalem. He's going on his way. This is a little longer passage and I want you to kind of see who these two are. But the answer is in verse 24. He said, he went on his way through the towns and villages, and he was teaching, and he was journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, will there be those who are saved be few? So, Lord, how many people are going to be saved? It's going to be few, right? And notice what Jesus says. Verse 24.
Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. What are our two types of people here? Read it again very closely in verse 24. Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. What's that tell you? Two types of people. They seek to enter. But many don't enter. And so the other group would be, they enter. There are many people who are trying. They're looking for it. They're trying to go through that narrow door. And he would go on to say, when the door is shut, the bridegroom comes in, he shuts the door, and they're out knocking on the door. They want to get in. And they're saying to him, we ate and we drank in your presence. And he's like, I don't know who you are. And then he rubs it in their face. And he says to them in verse 29, people will come from the east and the west and from the north and the south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. But not you. Because some who are last will be first and some who are first will be last. Just because you're a son of Abraham, as he said in the verse right before that I didn't read, just because you're a son of Abraham doesn't mean you're going to get to enter the kingdom. And you're going to get to enter through that door. You may be seeking to do it. But very few actually enter the door. And what's the difference? How do people who are seeking to get in, but aren't allowed in, versus people who are seeking to get in, but are allowed in? What's the difference? Well, I'm not exactly sure that this parable tells us, but I want you to notice one thing, what he says to them in verse 24. He says to them, first off, strive to enter through the narrow door. And we might think of that as the same idea as seek to enter. Well, the word there, strive, is the word that when Paul writes to Timothy, he tells him to fight the good fight. It's fight for it. Strive is the idea of you enter into a contest and you're going to do your best to win. And so 1 Corinthians 9, you enter the race. And so you practice self-control in all things. There are plenty of people who kind of want to be a part of the kingdom, but they aren't willing to fight for it. They aren't willing to go all the way with it. Isn't that what Paul says about it in 1 Corinthians 9 when he likens it to a runner? And to a boxer, as I don't box as one who boxes without a purpose, without an aim, but he practices self-control lest he himself be disqualified after having preached it, but not lived it. And the point is, he entered the race, but he was found to have violated, and he never got the prize. He says there are two types of people. Those that enter, and then those who obtain the prize. Jesus just says it a little differently. There are plenty of people who are looking for the door, and there is a small group that are allowed to enter the door. Is that going to be me? Am I going to enter? Or am I going to be left out? Chapter 14. Kong read for us verses 7 through 11, so I'm just going to reference that. You got two types of people in the world, verse 11. The one who humbles himself and the one who exalts himself. There's your two types of people. But the one who humbles himself will be exalted and the one who exalts himself will be humbled. Now chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. Another parable here. You'll notice a lot of these are parables. So again, he's at the house of a well-known and probably very powerful man. So when one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Like, yeah. And Jesus is like, "Okay, let me break it down to you, partner." He says, "A man once gave a great banquet, and he invited many. And at that time for the banquet, he sent his servant, his slave, to say to those who had been invited, 'Come now, for everything is ready.'" We sing the song, "All things are ready, come to the feast." This is where it comes from, right? They've been invited, everything's ready for you, it's all prepared, come on to dinner. Verse 18, "But they all alike, the many who have been invited, they all alike began to make excuses. And the first said, 'I bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I need to go examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.'" He doesn't ask to be excused. Notice that, by the way. He just says, "I'm married now. I'll catch you later." So the servant came back. The one who went out said, "Hey, come on." And everyone's like, "Hey, I got something else to do." He came back. He told his master, and the master became indifferent. He's like, "Oh, if you're not coming to the feast, that's okay." The master became angry. And he said to his servant, "You go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. You go get anybody who will come, but notice it ain't just anybody. It's the lowest of the low. You bring them in from anywhere that you can find them." So the servant said, "Sir, what you commanded have been done, and there's still room. We brought them in, and there's still room for everybody." The master said to his servant, "You go out in the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in that they may be filled." You go out and you get even more people. Because I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. What are you two types of people there? They've all been told, "All things are ready, come to the feast." One type of person makes an excuse for why they can't come anymore. And maybe when they got the invitation beforehand, they're like, "Yeah, I'm going to the banquet of this great, great man. He's wealthy. I'm going to get to rub noses." And is that the phrase, rub noses? Or the... rub shoulders, that's the phrase. Not rub noses, that'd be a little weird. Rub shoulders. Wow, that would be really weird. Rub shoulders with royalty. And you're going to get the best eating maybe you're going to get all year long, because you know the spread is going to be sweet. And those of you know that when I go to a wedding, the reason I go is not for the people or the wedding, but it's for the food. That's why you go, and this is going to be good. But now, I bought a piece of land. Better go check on it. Well, what about tomorrow? Can you go check on your land tomorrow? Or, I bought some yolk. I bought some oxen. I got to test them out today. Well, can't you test them out tomorrow? And I got married. Can't you test her out tomorrow? She don't want to come with me. I think that's probably the idea. She don't want to come with me. I wonder sometimes. And so because she doesn't want to go, I'm not going to go. I don't know if that's right. Text doesn't tell you that, but that's kind of what I think about. And the answer is, you make excuses. They come up with anything and everything that if you invited someone to your house, to your banquet, and you got everything ready for them, and nobody showed up. Someone said that the other day, that they had a party. They invited X amount of people. And it was a pretty good amount of people. And 2 people showed up.
And how disheartening that was for that individual. That's why the master got angry. So either I can make excuses, or the second type of person, they don't make excuses. What do? They come to the feast. They realize what is waiting for them. And they say, the oxen can wait. The land can wait. The wife can come with me, or she can wait. They come. What type of person am I? Do I have excuses? Or do I come? Because all things are ready. And finally, in chapter 14, verses 34 and 35. And this goes with our theme. Jesus says, salt is good. That's right. It's got a purpose. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? And if it is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile, it is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Again, another parable. Who are your two types of people here? He likens them to salt, right? A salt with a purpose. And it's lost its usefulness and its purpose now, right? And so you can't put it out in the manure, and you can't put it on your food. You can't put it anywhere. It is now useless. And the second group is it's useful. Has God seen me fulfilling my purpose? Am I useful to Him? Or am I now, I'm going to use the word dead weight. I'm useless. I'm now a burden that somebody else has got to drag along, that they get tired of, that weighs them down. And He likens us to salt. That, you know what, after a period of time, you're tossed out. And it's not just tossed, but you're tossed out and you're stepped on by everyone that comes along. Two types of people. Either you're useful or you're useless. There's no in between. And then finally, in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, Jesus on His way to Jerusalem again. He's going through Samaria, and He doesn't do that very often, does He? Usually He goes around. But when we see Him go through Samaria, we learn a lot. We see Him talking with the woman at the well, and we see Him interacting with these 10 lepers, right? And these 10 lepers were crying out, and they stood at a distance, and they lifted up their voice, verse 13, they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They knew who He was. And He saw them. He said, go and show yourselves to the priest, and He healed them, right? And they went back, and they were praising God with a loud voice. Right? No. That was one. Go back to your verse. Verse 15, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and He said, were not 10 cleansed? He knows that, right? He knows how many He healed. Weren't 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? One was found to return and give praise to God, except this foreigner. He said to them, rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. You got two groups of people. You got two kinds of people in the world. Those who are grateful and thankful for what God has done, and those who are thankless. It's like they deserved it in some sense. I got this disease and I got this problem, and you owe it to me to make me better. And apparently they must have been Jews. Because the one that was singled out, the one that came back praising God, was a Samaritan. And we know that the ungrateful have no place in the kingdom of heaven. They get shut out.
Am I a thankful person? Specifically noting, as he did here, he fell at his feet and he gave thanks to Jesus. Or am I thankless? I just don't even thank God anymore for anything. Because it's not that big a deal to me anymore. You owe it to me. He didn't owe us nothing. But yet, he cleansed them and he cleansed us from our sin. The Bible is full of two types of people. We always want to be on that right side of the two types of people. But oftentimes I find myself on the other side of those two types. And that's the beauty of it. We have time now to repent so that we don't perish. And that is all made possible because God is patient toward us. Because He doesn't wish that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God wants us all to be made right so that we can be with Him. And He gets angry when He invites us and we say, "Nope, I got something else better to do." Or He gives to us and we say, "No thanks." There's anger. And we don't want to fall into the hands of a God who is a consuming fire. Two types of people in the world. Who am I going to be? You're subject to the invitation this evening. We ask that you come now as we stand and as we sing.